François Ozon is one of France's best-known directors. Films like Swimming Pool, Eight Women and France have brought his work to an international audience. His latest film, By the Grace of God, has caused quite a stir in his home country with efforts to block its domestic release. It's a story all too familiar in Ireland, one of clerical child abuse. This story is centred in Lyon, and the abusing priest in question is Bernard Prenat. And the film tracks the battle to bring him and the Catholic hierarchy to justice. I'm joined now from London by François Ozon. Maybe, François, we could start with the story of Alexandre, who he is and what had happened to him, as we hear at the beginning of the film.
Alexandre is the first person I met, and I discovered his testimony on the net, and I was very touched because he's very Catholic, and he realized when he was 40 years old that he was abused as a child, and that the priest who abused him was still with children. So he was so shocked, and it disturbs all his life. So he decided to fight in the church, you know, in the diocese to make him stop being with children. And he had a lot of exchanges with the authority of Lyon at the diocese, and for him it was very important to stop this priest to be a priest, and he trusted the church. He had faith in them, but after 2 years he realized they will do nothing, so he decided to go to the justice and to file complaint.
We meet Alexandre as his two of his sons are about to make their confirmation. So he's quite a devout Catholic.
He's very devoted Catholic, yes.
How important is that aspect to his story?
I think it's very important because he's someone who trusts in the church system. He thinks they are with them because he believes in the message of God, in the message of Jesus, who says you have to defend the most weak person. So he thinks the Cardinal Barbarin will do something for him, and he realizes they do nothing. He realizes that the institution is stronger, and they just want to protect themselves.
Alexandre is played by Melville Popo. In the case, he's by himself, Alexandre, for quite a long time, fighting the battle really on his own. But soon he starts to get finds out about other victims and brings them along with him. François, played by Denis Ménochet, he's a very different type of... His experience of the church is very different from Alexandre's.
Yes, he's an atheist, and... It was quite funny because when we had an interview with him, he was so different of Alexandre, and it was very interesting for me to show these different people who were abused as a child and had different direction of life after. You know, it's quite surprising, and even the third character is different too. It's complex when you are abused as a child, how you try to survive. And I wanted to show that an abused child is a ticking time bomb for the family. You know, everybody is damaged by this fact. So it was important to show the brother, the parents, the children, all the people around the survivor.
In particular, in the case of Alexandre, the family reaction is very interesting.
Yes, very surprising. Because when he told me his story, I asked him, did you say something to your children? He said, of course. And you see the difference of generation. You know, the generation of my parents didn't talk about that, never. And I think for the new generation, I think the parents are able now to talk to their children about sexuality and the danger of pedophilia. Now, I think for the new generation, things have changed so much. But for the other generation, it was more complex. You know, we never talked about that.
That culture of silence, was it just within the church? Was it within society in France as well?
I think things are changing in all the systems, you know, all the institutions. I think the Me Too movement was very important in France, and I think the law of silence is over. You know, people want to talk, people want to defend themselves, and I think it's a good thing for our societies.
Emmanuel's story is another one we hear. His abuse, he really kept quiet, or was harmed by the silence, perhaps more so than others. How affected has he been in his later life?
He was maybe the more affected by his abuse, because it was interesting, because his family was destroyed before the abuse, because his parents divorced when he was very young, so he was alone with his mother, and I think he was without a father, actually, so he had no idea of the authority except this priest who abused him. So for him it was so complex to survive with that, and it was interesting for me to show that Alexandre and François were able to build a family, to have a job, to have a normal life. Not really normal, but they try to have a normal life. And for Emmanuel, it's not the case. He's suffering so much.
The abuser in question here is a man called Bernard Prenet, played in the film by Bernard Verlet. We hear very specific stories about him. How prolific an abuser was he? Have we any idea how many children he abused?
We have the testimonies of 70 victims, but we think it's more. You know, people don't have talk yet. But after the release in film, which was very successful, especially in Lyon, where it happens, a lot of people decide to talk after. So we know it's more than 100 child who were abused for sure.
And at the time in the 1980s when the abuse happened, he was very involved with the scouting movement.
Yes. He was very powerful, and he was considered as a very good priest. And many families were happy that he was making some scout, and he was a good organizer. So he was very protected by all the system of the church.
He was also described by many of the people he abused as being very charismatic.
Yes, he was like a guru for many people, for many families. I think many people were so disturbed when they saw the film, because they realized they were close to him and they didn't know all that. So it was a big shock for all these people, all these Catholics who were very upset when they discovered all the stories.
And obviously a real challenge for Bernard Verlet then to portray that those two sides of that man. And in the film, he Bernard Verlet has to do something similar in the modern day confrontations between Prenet and those who were abused. It struck me how manipulative he was sometimes in those situations.
Yes.
Did you find that when you heard the abusers tell you of those?
That's why they told me he's still a guru, you know, he's still a big manipulator. He's very clever, he's very charismatic. But at the same time, the victims told me when they were in confrontation with them, we had the feeling he didn't realize what he did. He didn't realize how he destroyed her life. So it was important with the actor Bernard Verlet to show that, to see that this man is lost and he has no guilt inside, you know. It's quite shocking, but it's the reality. But at the same time, I didn't want to make a film black and white. I wanted to show a kind of humanity in this man, even if he's a monster and he has made so many rapes. I wanted to show that he's lost, actually.
Did you meet Prenet?
No, I didn't meet him. I didn't want to meet the authorities of the church or the pedophile, because I wanted to make this film on the perspective of the victims. It was very important for me. And all the quotes, all the lines we have in the film, I speak about the priest, about the cardinal, about the psychologue, come from testimonies, from quotes they had in the press. So I didn't invent anything for them.
At one point, Prenet says that he told the authorities that he was abusing the children that he was in charge of. Do you believe that he did that?
Yes, of course he did that. It's the reality. That's why it's so shocking, because the authority of the church knew that, but they did nothing. They just changed the place where he was a priest, And that's the big problem of the church. Now they have understood it's a real problem. They made a confusion, you know. They thought pedophilia is a sin like homosexuality, like abortion. It's the same kind of thing. It's not so important. But now they have understood. And because of the film, they realized how the victims have suffered. And it was important to show that for me.
One of the major authority figures in the story is Cardinal Philippe Barbarin.
Yes.
It's he that gave you the title for the film.
It was mad because in a press conference, he had some words which were so shocking for everybody because he said, by the grace of God, the statute of limitations have expired. And for all the victims, It was like un coup de poignard, a knife in the heart. It's because Cardinal Barbarin had always very strong words against pedophilia, like the Pope Francis. But we realized the words and the facts are not the same. You know, he didn't act after knowing the problem of Prena. So the fact he said, hopefully the statute of limitations has expired. It was so shocking for all the victims. And I decided to keep these words to make the title of the film because it's the real problem of the church.
Yeah, I think it's important just for listeners who may not be aware of the importance of the statute of limitations that I just explained, that some of the abuse had taken place, we're only talking 20 years in the past, but there was a statute of limitations that meant the abuser could not be prosecuted because the time had expired.
Yes.
But I wondered what you felt about Cardinal Barbarin. At other points in the film, we see how carefully he chooses his words. There is not a single syllable uttered that he does not want uttered. How purposeful, then, did he mean to say, by the grace of God, in that press conference?
It's his subconscious which is talking. And it's a kind of lapsus. But, you know, we know from Freud that a lapsus tells the truth and tells the reality of what you really think. And of course he said, oh, excuse me, I didn't use the white words. But everybody know it was what he was thinking. And that's the drama of the story.
You chose to make this film while Barbarin's trial was going on. Why?
You know, everything was in the French press. There is no surprise for the French, you know. Enfin, about the facts about Barbarin, about Prena, what you discover in the film, people didn't know. It's the private life of the victims, you know. They didn't know what happens to the children. They didn't know what was their relationship with their parents, with their brother. And that's what interested me, because I wanted to show that all the family was damaged by a child abused. And I was maybe naive or innocent, but I said, "Bo, there is no surprise about Barbarin, about Prena, so I have to use his real name." It was maybe a mistake because they tried to stop the release of the film because I use their name. But the system, French justice, decide I was in my right to make this film, and the film was very successful in France.
Barbarin was found guilty of covering up child abuse. What happened to him, and also what was the outcome of the trial of Bernard Préan?
The trial of Préan didn't happen yet. We are still waiting, but he was defrocked by the church after the release of the film, important. That means now the French church has understood how much it was important, and the film was very helpful for many priests who came, and Catholics who came to see the film in France, and were very touched by the stories of the victims.
And the outcome for Barbarin of that trial, for being found guilty?
He went to the Vatican to propose his resignation to the Pope, and the Pope refused it. And it was, again, a big scandal because people in France and the Catholics first didn't understand, because the Pope was so, he said, tolerance zero about pedophilia, and he didn't accept the resignation of Barbarin, who was condemned for protecting the pedophile priest. So... It's crazy.
François Ozon there speaking to me about his film By the Grace of God. It opens this weekend and we'll be reviewing it on Thursday night's Arena.